All right, guys. As I said, Pastor Kip is still away. So we have a guest speaker, Joseph Murray. And Joseph, why don't you make your way up here? Let's see, Joseph's been a longtime member of Bethany Lane and sits over there here at Columbia or at Ellicott City. And he sits over there at Columbia as well, from what I remember. He's a, you'll see, if you go to Columbia, you'll see him and his wife there. I bumped in, well, I knew he was here. And how I really got to know Joseph was back several years ago now, when this church, Bethany Church, was getting involved in the homeless ministry in this area, and there were all these different meetings, and Joseph was at a bunch of these meetings, and you'll see his name in a lot of different things in this county about helping people. He got a big heart, lots of compassion for that, and it was good to just see a familiar face there, and it was one of those things that made me realize, yeah, God wants us to step into this ministry. He's an ordained minister. He was a pastor for 10 years, I found out, just sitting, asking him things to, how do I introduce you? So I learned about that, and you're going to be blessed. You definitely are. 9 o'clock was a joy. So please welcome Mr. Joseph Murray, please.
Thank you. Talking in just a minute. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is good to see you. It's been a long time since I saw some of you. God is always faithful, and I had not planned to be here filling the pulpit. And I thank Pastor Kip and Pastor Kenny for the invitation to stand in while they are on their way home. That's a long way from here. But we thank the Lord that they were able to go, and we certainly miss them. But it's good to be here. I really enjoyed the message last week. Pastor Dennis, are you putting me on? And I'll be sharing a little bit more about that a little later on. Seems like I'm forgetting. Oh, I know what. Most of you know the love of my life. Well, Jesus, of course, but I'm talking about her. Deanna, we celebrated our 48th anniversary just 2 months ago. Yeah, we did. God is faithful, and I wouldn't be here without her. I can assure you of that. That's a fact. Today's message is also just a simple question, like Pastor Dennis did last week. Are you putting me on? Well, today, it's just a simple question, and we'll get to that momentarily. But first, I want to explain to you my understanding of what it is we're doing here today. You say, well, that should be obvious. We do this all the time. Well, that's true. Just bear with me, though. Brethren, we have met to worship. Thank you for playing that. That was the song. Yeah, that hymn. One of my favorite hymns. It's one of the oldest published American folk hymns. And it was written by George Atkins. I think I may have failed to mention it this morning. George was a Methodist minister. And he wrote this sometime in the middle 1800s, I think. And it used to be a very popular song at shape note hymn sing gatherings. I love the tune, but I also like the lyrics. And the first verse is this: Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power as we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray, and holy manna will be showered all around. Now, another way to state this, the church I was a pastor was a Pentecostal church. And so, can you imagine playing that hymn? Brethren, we have come to worship. But they got the point. They understood where we were coming from. They understood that those words were true. But we move forward to around 1980-something. when the gospel folks got a hold of that same message, and they said, first, giving honor to God, to the pastor, saints, and friends, we thank the Lord for being here and for bringing us safely over the highway. Pray for us. Pray for us that the Lord will have his way, that we'll have church in Jesus' name. Lord, send your anointing. Lord, send your anointing. We have not come to entertain, but we have come to lift up Jesus' name. Pray for us that the Lord might have his way, that we'll have church in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you that I can still talk after this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word, which is the only thing that transforms. Thank you, Lord, for all of the books that you've given me to read, all of the library and all of the insights gained from this one and that one, spiritual insights, good things. But, Lord, thank you for the revelation that those books, that content did not transform, it informed. We thank you this morning for your word. And however brief the message, however short the verse, whatever the passage is, we thank you, Lord, for just filling it with your power and helping it to accomplish what you send it to accomplish in the hearts of the hearers. We pray for Pastor Kip and company as they journey back home. We just trust you to bring them back safely, Lord. And we just thank you that your word might run to the hearts of every hearer. And we praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to go to the manufacturer's handbook. Now, I think it was Dale who told me, see, this morning I asked him, well, where do I have to stand? How do I, because they're recording. Well, now they aren't. And I think he told me I have all the time I need. But I'll try to, you know, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets, the scripture says. So I'll try to control myself a little bit. Although I have preached for several hours once, but anyway. I hope you read Colossians 3 from last week's message. Did anybody read that by any chance? Chance. Well, Pastor Dennis did. Yeah. If you've then been risen with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. One of the verses I love, that first one, is from the New American Standard. It says, keep on seeking the things that are above. You know, we didn't seek to receive salvation and then stop seeking. Keep on seeking those things that are above. Set your affection, set your mind, focus on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Good scripture to meditate on. Set your mind on things above. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with what? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. You know, there's some people, in fact, I was invited to go to a church once. I used to work for Enoch Pratt Library, and a co-worker invited me to go to a church, but they didn't have any music, musical instruments. They didn't believe in musical instruments. I thought, oh, well, I actually didn't go to a service. I stopped by the church to see her one day. But I didn't go to the service because I don't go to churches where there's no musical instruments, where there's no music, because that's not what Scripture tells me. In fact, it said play skillfully on those drums and on that bass and on everything else because it's honoring God, amen, giving glory to God. But anyway, some people are surprised that we are to admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. and singing and thankfulness to God. And yet, what I've discovered is that there's a sanctuary life in the Psalms, just the Psalms. I don't know about you, but I've been ministered to so many times with just a song. There are times now where when Pastor Philip is finished, then we leave, and for the whole week, we're still singing the songs. God is faithful. And all of this, you know, when Pastor Sherry is up here, all of this is for us to grow, to draw closer to Him. It's all pointed above, and we thank God for that. So I see a beautiful parallel between Colossians 3 and Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, which some of you have probably memorized. We've heard it so much. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together. I know you've heard that one. As is the habit of some, and it's a bad habit, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. So how is it possible, with all of the stuff going on out there, all of that baggage, Sister Sherry talked about, we come in here with all of that out there, how do we hold fast the confession of our faith without wavering? Well, the Lord suggested to me this morning that one way is Psalm 1. And I asked this morning, who knew Psalm 1? Does anybody know Psalm 1? I mean, to recite it. And I said, you know where I learned Psalm 1? In school. I did. In elementary school in Baltimore City, where we had devotions every morning. We had scripture, we had a hymn, and someone said, Ferris, Lord Jesus. That's where I learned it, in school. And we recited, you had to turn to, didn't you, to recite the scripture. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. Blessed is the man. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in that law does he meditate day and night. And because of that, he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, who's bringing forth fruit all the time. Leaves won't wither. And whatever he does will what? God said it, and I believe it's true. We won't get into the ungodly and not so. But there is a difference. Scripture says, for the Lord doth put a difference between the children of Egypt and the children of Israel. There's no need for us to hide or to beg for going back to Egypt when we've seen the light. Hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Another one of my favorite passages from 1 Corinthians 1:9, and God is faithful, who has called me. It was God who called me into this fellowship with his son Jesus Christ. And so he is faithful. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Oh my. Well, the title of this message is, in the form again of a simple question, are you glad? Are you glad? Now, if you say to me, well, let me think about it for just, you aren't glad. American Heritage Dictionary defines glad as the experience and exhibition of happiness, joy, pleasure. So if you're experiencing and exhibiting joy and pleasure, you're glad. And my hope is that since you've come in here, especially after the songs, you've experienced a little bit of joy and some pleasure. And so you can say, I'm glad. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad. Okay, and I'm glad God didn't strike somebody. Because someone confessed on the way out after this morning, the early service. She said, oh, I was just a mess when I came in. I was just down, and I was just, so she confessed, and she hugged me and said, I'm so glad that I came. And that's what's about God. We should be the Demas Shakarian, a guy from way back, Armenian fellow. He was one who started the Full Gospel Businessmen Fellowship many years ago during the charismatic movement. But he wrote a book called, he co-authored a book called The Happiest People on Earth, talking about Christians, talking about believers, about us. The point was, we're supposed to be glad. We've got a joy that the world didn't give us, right? Okay. So the question is, are you glad? And it's from Psalm 122:1. I was glad, David said, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Just a couple of points. First of all, there are many, 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 many reasons to be sad, and there are a lot of reasons to be mad. But there are a whole lot more reasons to be glad. And you know, I've been so blessed that God has given me so many, many, many reasons to be glad. And I thank him for it. Let's pray again. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness in everything. And Lord, we're trusting you that your word will run to the hearers. And that many who came in today sad and sort of not so sure that they could even be glad. That when they encounter the power of your spirit, Lord, that they'll think to themselves, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Assure them, Lord, that whatever's going on, and there's so much going on, that could cause sadness, that weeping may in fact endure for a night, but give them the absolute assurance that because you're in control, joy will come in the morning. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you really glad to be in church? Who looks forward to coming to church? Deanna said to me this morning, you feeling okay? So yeah, I'm fine, just been in church all night. And that's the way it works sometimes. I mean, we've been to services where we left church and we were praising God all the way home, and after we got home, just couldn't stop, all night long. We know that we're here to adore our Savior, to encourage and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, to receive the preached word, to lift up Jesus' name, not to entertain, ever. It's one of the things that's a little distressing to me. I don't watch a whole lot of TV or whatever. You know, I know who my shepherd is, and I know where God sent me to be fed. And so we show up here. And as I said in the early service, we used to sit in the back, couple rows from the back. That was our pew. Sister Ruth, is my name on that pew is somewhere near you. Yeah. But then we decided we moved to the front. Amen. Because we didn't need any distractions. We have to be focused. We have to be focused on seeking those things that are above. We were here for a word from the Lord. Pastor Kipp's delivering it. Wasn't that a beautiful sermon that this morning from Sister Sherry? I like that. She does some great sermonettes. And God has blessed us every time. But we have to not be distracted. And so we need to be focused on what's going on what the Lord wants to give us. He's here. He said, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there I am, right there with you. And if there was ever a time when we need to encourage one another with hymns and songs and spiritual songs and so on, it's today. because there's so much foolishness going on, wickedness. It could really, you could walk around sad all the time. And there are a lot of Christians whose attitude is just bad. I do not associate with Brother Gloom or Sister Dark Cloud. I just don't. I really don't. My Bible tells me what I should think on. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good report, all of the whole list, that's what I'm commanded to think on. And so every now and then I turn the radio off. I say, Deanne, I'm fasting today from the news, from the commentaries, from all of that, because it'll mess up my mind. What goes into the eye gate, the ear gate, all affects my behavior and my attitude. And I want us to think about our attitude before, during, and after worship service. Every day. That person who becomes like a tree, in his law, he meditates day and night. And there's a lot of stuff. Some people watch TV and the news, and most of it bad. So Christians, I think, need to fast from some of that stuff and think on what God wants us to think on. Wickedness all over the place. Well, I've heard these scriptures before. Pastor Kip has mentioned them, and certainly the one about coming to church. He told us over and over, but I come to church regularly. Well, I think that's good. It's commendable. But what about the person you know needs to be here that you haven't said to that person, come go with me to the house of the Lord? You could say to them, I was glad when you said you would go with me to the house of the Lord. I don't invite as many people as my wife does. Deanne invites anybody. Her favorite question is, do you have a church home? Well, you know, if I'm here, if you're in the store and I'm getting ready to support your business, help you make a living, I think I have a right to ask you a question. Someone says, well, you're getting personal. Well, you are too, if you're asking me what I want. We'd stopped at a little antique place. We're looking for a trunk, and she says, whips out the card, especially when she learned from the woman, the salesperson, the owner, that her husband was military. She said, you have a church home? Gave a little Bethany card. It's important that we open our mouths. I was surprised this morning. My wife opened her mouth, and so five of my grandchildren were here. And my son, his wife, his sons, so three of my grandsons were here, and one granddaughter, right? One is at college. She's in Pennsylvania. We have seven, and it's kind of hard to keep. But, so one is away at school, and our daughter, our son was here, and our daughter, younger daughter, we have two daughters. The older daughter is leading worship right now at her church. And maybe I testify about her in a little bit here. But I just want to know if you're really glad. And at some point during this message, when I look out there, hopefully, you know, Pastor Philip told him last week, he said, you know what? We aren't here to sit on our hands and be bored. Right. You know what I mean? But it's important when I look out there, I want to see that someone is experiencing and exhibiting joy and pleasure. Amen. And if there was ever a time we needed it, it's today. Things are really, really, really bad in this world. And my intent is not to make you feel guilty about church attendance, about putting on Christ, about responding to the Holy Spirit, or any of that. God will take care of that. That's between you and Him. And He knows just how to deal with it. But I'm just asking, are you glad? God warned us that in the years to come, in the last days, actually what He said, which is today, that's the same thing the preacher preached 50 years ago, but it's true. In the last days, perilous times will come. This is 2 Timothy chapter 3, those first five verses. And he listed 19 things that we could be very sad about and ought to be upset about. Some of them we ought to be mad about. In the last days, perilous times will come, times of great stress. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. And you know, there's some people think, well, I don't think he actually hates good. Well, there's some of them running around who do. Treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness. I know some preachers who hold to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. And what does the Bible say our response to them should be? Have nothing to do with them. From such, turn away. Well, you know, what about winning them to Christ? Well, you know, if God sent you to do it, then do it. But otherwise, obey what this says. We used to do ministry all over the place. I used to do ministry at the Baltimore County Jail many years ago in Towson. I'd go out there on Saturdays to minister to the inmates. They locked me in the cafeteria with a bunch of them. And it was good. We used to go down to Pennsylvania Avenue in Baltimore City. One of the sisters in our church, her husband owned a pharmacy, and we would go upstairs at the pharmacy to minister. That was a bad place, though. And someone once said to me, well, I want to go down to the block. So if you can do what Jesus did, and he's sending you, go. But you know there's some who were sent and some just went. With all the wickedness that's going on, we don't need to be entangled in any of this stuff. But we do need to pray and exhibit a gladness so that someone will say, I want to be glad like him. Amen. And come to church when we extend the invitation. God warned years ago that there would be this coming apostasy, and that's what it is. What's fascinating about that verse we just read from 2 Timothy is that it's talking about people who have a form of godliness but deny its power. And then again we read in 1 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 11. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person. Wait a minute. How can someone be a brother and be immoral? Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about brother in Christ. Well, the scripture says, if anyone calls a so-called brother, if he is an immoral person or covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler, or a drunkard, or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. And some commentators think that means communion. Some think it means don't eat with him. They put him in the same category as the 2 Timothy ones, not to associate. Why? Because it makes me sad. Why? Because they may drag me down. We used to do youth ministry. And some of the youngsters said, well, you know, they have these friends, and their friends want to go here and there. I remember when she'll be 46, I guess, she said, I want to go with Alicia. We want to go see the Richard Pryor movie. And I said to her, what do you think Jesus would do? You can go if you think that Jesus would go. And that, you know, they used to wear the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. That was a good thing. She decided not to go. And see, the same Holy Spirit that's in me is in her. There's some things that we just don't need to be involved with. I used to say to the youngsters when we did this youth group, I said, you know, I'd have one of them stand down there and then one stand up here. It was a whole lot easier for those friends to pull me down than for me to pull them up. And although we're relying not on my strength but on the power of the Holy Spirit to lift up others around us, have to be really careful. We can find ourselves in a place we don't want to be. And the next thing you know, and such were some of you. Anyway, I don't want to make you sad, but let's move on. Pastor Kip sometimes says, do you feel like you've been in church today? And someone might ask, well, what does it have to do with feeling? And as I've said earlier, when the Holy Ghost is moving, when the power of God is moving, there are a whole lot of things that are felt, not just telt. I'm going to do an interesting study. Take a look at people's response to the presence of God. David is one example that we have from Scripture. David said when he was bringing, you know, the Ark of the Covenant is a very interesting thing, and it represented the presence of God. And when trying to transport that back to Jerusalem, they messed up the first time. The second time, they ended up parking the ark at the house of Obed-Edom. And you know where the presence of God is, it says, and Obed-Edom's house was blessed. Everybody in the house, the whole family, everyone was blessed because of the presence of God. And then we read that David, at the presence of this ark, it said he danced before the Lord with all his might. I mean, this is, you know, we think of King David, but he danced and danced and danced, and the translation is he whirled. So he was dancing. So much so that his wife, they don't refer to her as his wife. The scriptures refers to her as Saul's daughter. Michael. She was looking out the window at him, dancing around out there, and it says she despised him because he was praising the Lord so. And there's some of us who have that attitude. Someone very close to me used to. We were invited to go to my mother's church. I was a Baptist. My family was Baptist when we lived down in Baltimore. And since I have another half an hour, 40 minutes or so, I'll go into that. The last day of 1940, a housing project opened in Baltimore City. It was called the Edgar Allan Poe Homes. That's where we lived. That's where I grew up. She was on the other side of town, East Baltimore, in another housing project. You know, there are a lot of Christians who look down on folks in housing projects. And I mean, and some can be a little wild. It was wild where I lived. This is probably 1952 or somewhere around there when my mother said, get down, because it was shooting. Bullet came in, just missed the Victrola, hit the TV screen, little console thing. We kept that for a long time. I think my mother just liked to look at it and praise the Lord, because her kids weren't killed. Way back then, all kinds of violence. I remember the girl, I can see her as if this was yesterday, Nicholas Carter. I can see it. And I'm probably in the third grade when her sister was killed by an axe murderer. And so many tragedies. Then Billy. Billy lived three doors from me. I lived probably 50 feet from the Edgar Allan Poe house on Amity Street, 205 North Amity Street. Billy's dad came home from prison, shot his mother in the head on the front porch. All kinds of horrible stuff. We had a lot of reasons to be sad. It was bad. And no better where she grew up, down in Turner Station, they were really crazy down there. They were country crazy. And a whole lot of people had guns. Her father would sit up late at night and shoot rats in the house. Her sister slept in a dresser drawer. You're talking about poor. We were all poor. Lots of reasons to be sad. Very few services available. Mother constantly worried about our children. A lot of reasons to be sad. But there came a day back there in 1940 or so, 42, 43, I think just after my brother was born. My mother had already lost one child, a sister I never knew, after just a couple of weeks. And so she had gone to the seamstress shop in Baltimore City, down there on Fremont Avenue. I'll never forget another interesting community. What she didn't realize was that the seamstress was an evangelist. She ended up in that seamstress shop on her knees, getting saved. She went in dressed one way, came out clothed in righteousness. She went in putting on with something on that she shouldn't have had on probably, and when she came out, she had put on Christ. And then my father said, you know, we should, now that I'm having a family, we need to go to church. And so we started going to church. He took us to church. And by the way, church was never optional in our house. Never. I was in college. I would get up. In fact, before I delivered my newspapers, lived in West Baltimore, I delivered my newspapers and the Sun paper. And then I would go home, change clothes, get on a bus, transfer to another bus, and be at St. Philip's Lutheran Church by the 8 o'clock service. In time to go in and put on my little white surplice. I was an acolyte. That's where I met her, over at that church in the catechism class. We went to Lutheran Church because my mother, we were at the Baptist church, but she thought that I could learn more in the Lutheran church. And so they sent us over there. But my father decided that we should be church goers. And so we were. And from that day on, they were committed to church. I was fortunate, blessed to grow up in a saintly family. I mean, my mother and father were praying at the side of the bed every night. And all my mother wanted to do was praise the Lord. She invited us to her church, just asking, are you glad? Invited us to our church, and we got to the church, Pentecostal church, and we were a little bit uncomfortable, at least my wife was, to the point where she said she refused to clap because it's not proper. Lutherans don't clap in church. They certainly didn't then. And so she said, I'm not going to clap. And she, see how she's sitting now? She sat just like that. Refused. And it was kind of embarrassing, I think, but she didn't care. She refused to clap. She thought it was disrespectful. And then a fascinating thing happened. We're moving forward a lot of years. I was working at the telephone company. You know what I found out today as Bob Deere's leaving? He said, you worked at the phone. He said, I knew you looked familiar because we worked at the same place, 1972. And then literally the same building. Very interesting. But a young man came there to that. He was hired into management. He was sharper than I was. You know, he was a Hopkins grad. And they hired him directly into management. And he began to witness to me. I mean, I was really surprised that this guy, this highly educated, sophisticated guy, would invite me to his church, which was a storefront church in West Baltimore, and I'm thinking, I don't need to go there. We had heard what they do in those places, so I didn't want to go there. But we went anyway. He and his wife came by our house, witnessed to us in our apartment, and invited us to church. So we attended, decided to go. After a while, he asked us to join the choir, and I didn't want to sing in the choir. I didn't even want to be there. But my wife wanted to sing. And you know what? The Bible says no one can come except the Father draw them. He was drawing us, drawing both of us. Some of you out here now only came to Christ because He drew you, and in some cases it was through your daughter, your son, your husband, wife, a friend. But he drew us. He was drawing me. I just didn't know it. We're sitting in this little storefront church, and they're just praising God. You could literally feel the floor moving, and it was small. I mean, only like a quarter of the size of this. And they asked the choir to come and sing, and there she was up there with a few folks singing, "Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm." And then I heard her scream and saw her fall onto the floor. And I thought, I'm not going to have this. I did. I got up and walked right up to the front of the little church and asked them, I wanted to know what's happening to my wife. And they said, the Lord's just blessing her. And he was totally transformed. For somebody who didn't want to clap in the church, now we drive down the street to my mother's house. We go in, and as soon as my mother sees her, the two of them start praising God, shouting, hallelujah. Can't be quiet about it, tears streaming, as my father and I just sat at the kitchen table looking at each other, shaking our heads. But it was a transforming moment. And, you know, as I said, the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So, you know, the Holy Spirit isn't going to make me run across the platform. But if I want to, I'll run. Praising him, just as David danced before the Lord.
Amen.
So she went from despising, like Michael did, those exhibitions of joy and pleasure before the Lord, to doing it herself. And this isn't just something we do on Sunday. I mean, we'll be there in bed in the evening when she comes from school, talking about a child and praising God and praying for those children. That's what we need to do for all of these professors of faith, people with a form of godliness but denying its power. All of us should be glad enough to say, can I pray with you? Open our mouths. One reason we're here, Deanna and I, is because Judy Baylor opened her mouth. My older daughter, one who's leading worship, worked at the same school where she was. And she just told us about this Easter pageant. I didn't even come. She came by, you came by yourself. I'm loyal, you know, I don't go around other churches. But then when she went the second time, I thought, I guess maybe something's going on there. When she told me about the pastor, when she told me about what was happening, I thought, man, something's going on here. And the Lord had already been dealing with us about moving from the church where we were. And by the way, since we're on this topic, it's a bad, bad thing to just walk out of a church. Why? Because God, if he puts you there, then that's your pastor. He's the one who has to give an account to God for what's happening with you. He's the one that God said, feed the flock over whom I gave you the oversight. And so whatever church it is, I can call the pastor to, in fact, my son and his wife went to the wrong church this morning. They went to the church we used to go to. But I know the pastor there, every one of the pastors. It's just a few. Harvester Baptist Church, you know, I know Ed and Christina Simpson well. That's where my son, we used to teach the singles class there. And they had no room, so I used to teach it in Pastor Simpson's office. That's where my son met his wife, teaching a college class. She was home from college. And one guy said, where's Joseph? He said, I think he's with Gilbert's daughter. I think they went to Friendly's. And they were here this morning. That's where he met his wife. So we were supposed to be there. But any one of them, you know, I can call, talk to Pastor Ted from time to time, Pastor Neil over at South Columbia Baptist. The Lord, when the Lord says move, it's time to move. And I don't move very easily when it comes to things like that. We were on the way, we had been in Ocean City, we were praying, and we were on the way back home. I said, Deanna, I just have to go and talk to Pastor Ted because the Lord is making this very clear. We're supposed to be. And so I talked to the man. And that's when we came here, and the first service I attended was in Sister Sue Crouch's class. That was the service, Lifeline. It was that important. We need to do more of that. And that's why I'm so glad. And my hope is that you will be glad as well. Anyway, let me move on here. I only have a half an hour, so. Why do you think it is that Pastor Kip occasionally will say, you need to stand up? 1 minute. What do you think?
Lack of attention.
Okay. He can see that there's a lack of attention. He wants us focused. Why? You think it's because we might miss his performance?
No.
No, 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 no. You know, it's important. Now, I mentioned earlier, if you want to read something kind of interesting, look at Acts chapter 20, starting around verse 7. You'll read about Eutychus, who was one of the members of the church. This is one of the brothers, I'm sure, who showed up every week. He happened to be sitting in the balcony. The scripture says he was three flights up. Paul was preaching so long that Brother Eutychus fell out of the balcony and died. It's true. Read it. Now, I couldn't have done what Paul did. The scripture says Paul ran out there and he stretched out on him and he prayed, and the brother came back to life. But Pastor Kip wants us to be focused. He wants to take us to another place. We want to go higher in God. We want to learn more about the scripture says we ought to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants us to go a little higher. He says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Come on and go with me. He says, isn't it good? And then he says, ooh. Because it's like fire shut up in his bones. Pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. We want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at us are hurled. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the sound of saints on higher ground. You know that cloud of witnesses. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may choose to hang out where these are found. My aim, my prayer, Pastor Kip's prayer for us is higher ground. That's why it's always invitation to Lifeline, invitation to Bible study, invitation to any gathering. It's important. It's important. Well, I hope you understand that it's important to follow our pastor as he follows Christ. And I hope you go with him. I hope you listened to Pastor Dennis last week and took to heart that appeal to keep on seeking the things above. You want to be glad? Turn to your neighbor and say, I want to be glad. I want to be gladder than I am. Well, if you really want to be glad, then we need to keep on seeking the things that are above. We need to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'm glad for all of you. I'm glad for Koinonia. I'm glad for fellowship. I'm glad we look out for one another. You know, we've had several deaths in my family, and it's just a wonderful thing. I remember when my mother passed away. It was great to look out there and see the saints, to see Sister Sharon, Pastor Kip, and others. When Deanna's brother passed away just a couple of months ago, it was great that we have friends there. But it's something special to see the saints there, to see the saints of God. It means a whole lot more. It's more helpful, I think. Well, I better stop. But I encourage you to find a reason to be glad. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. grandson came into the room they lived with. He came in the room last week and he said, I can't go to sleep. And grandma said, count your blessings. Think about what the Lord has done for you. Some of you know who Jim Elliot is, some don't. Missionary to Papua New Guinea, long, many years ago. My mother used to love his quote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. There's another quote that I like that is not as well known as that one. He said, forgive me for being so ordinary while claiming to know such an extraordinary God. Something to think about. Something to be glad about. That we have an extraordinary God. And I know there's a lot going on, as I said, to be sad about, a lot happening that you could be mad about. But be glad that God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. For I, the Lord thy God, will say unto thee, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying, fear not. It's important to be glad. It's important to smile. It's important to be careful who we associate with. If there's a brother, as I say, Brother Gloom gets around, he goes from church to church. Tell him, I've told more than one person, you know, you're very unpleasant. I have. And it's at work, I've said to more than one person, you know, you're a chronic complainer. I mean, some of us are a little bit timid when it comes to these things, but you know what? I'm not going to let them steal my joy. Amen. I'm not going to let the adversary come and put all kinds of mess in my head. Oh, no, I will be smiling. It's a shame for Christians to look like it's 7:25 all the time. When it's really 10 after 10. God is faithful. Musicians, you can come now.